Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Moed Chazan Daf Ches. We are holding four lines from the end of the page on Daf Zayinam and Beis at Mai Beinaihu. We are right in the middle of a discussion. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by David Hamm in honor of his wife's birthday, which was Monday. Very happy birthday. Also sponsored by Yanki Shifman, Li'ili Nishmas, his father, Rabbi Yeshaya ben Rabbi Chiel, Olav HaShalom, his yahrzeit is today, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all three sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we were in the middle of a discussion of how we know that there are some days that you don't look at Nega'im. Where do we find that that it says anywhere in the Torah that there are other times that you don't look at Nega'im? And we had two possibilities. So the Gemara is going to bring a nafkamina between those two possibilities. And then the Gemara is going to explain those drashos, and the Gemara is going to show that that we have machlokas whether we learn not to look at Nega'im at night from Ubayom or from Lovalolaoro, but all agree that a one-eyed Kohen, we're going to talk about that as well, a one-eyed Kohen is not allowed to look at Nega'im. So the first part of the daf, all the way till the Mishnah on Chesamad Aleph, is going to continue talking about looking at Maros Nega'im on Chalamoid in general and what the limitations of that are. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss on Amud Aleph another matter that relates to Tsar and Chalamoid, and that is Likut Atzamos. A machlokas whether one is allowed to be malake tatsamos to move a body on chalamoid. The Gemara is going to have explain the machlokas tanoim as to whether it's considered a greater source of sadness, or in a certain sense it's simcha hilo. In a certain sense, it causes a person simcha. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether the iser to be maspid within 30 days of Yom Tov is because you may use up your money by paying for the maspidim, and you're not going to have enough money for Yom Tov, or because it's going to make you sad, and then when you go into Yom Tov, you're going to be sad going into Yom Tov. And the Gemara is going to discuss what the nafkamina is between those possibilities. The Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is going to talk about digging burial plots on Chol HaMoed, and it's going to talk about how you're not allowed to dig underground but or above ground graves, but you can adjust existing graves. Then the Gemara is going to say that if a mace is in a chatzar, you can make an aron from pre-existing boards that you may have, but we're going to have a machlokas whether you can make boards on Chol HaMoed. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of on the middle of Amud Beis is going to tell us that one is not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed, and that's going to be really the most well known sugya of the daf. Four opinions why not to get married on Chol HaMoed, the first one being the most famous one of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. That then there are other reasons as well, the Samachta B'Chagech V'lo B'Shtacha and the Tareach and Bittel Peruvu, but Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha is the sugya on the bottom of Amud Beis. So let's begin. We are four lines from the end of the page on Daf Zayin and Beis, Mai Beinayhu. So we're in the middle of the discussion. The Gemara was talking about how we know that there are certain days that you're not supposed to look at Maros Nega'im. So we had two possibilities. Either from the word Ubayom in the Pasuk, so Yesh Yomim Shataroabo V'Yesh Yom Shiataroabo, that implies that there are certain days that you do look at Nega'im and other days that you don't look at Nega'im. Or from Ufinu Esabayis, where it says that the Vitziva Kohen Ufinu Esabayis, that they'd clear out the house before he would declare the house to have Tumas Taras, so as not to ruin all of the contents of the house. So you see, even for a Dvar Rishus, he's going to delay his declaration of the Nega. So certainly for a Dvar Mitzvah, one would do so. So says Mar, Mai Benai, what's enough Kamina, whether you learn from one source or the other? Either way, you end up, you land in the same place, that you don't have to paskin on a Nega always immediately, that there are some times that you're allowed to delay paskining on a Nega. So Amar Abayi Mashmaz Darshanu Kabinayu, the difference between them is only which pasuk to darshan from. Rabbi Yehuda darshans from a Bayom, Rabbi darshans from a Finos Abayis, but there is no nafkamina. I mean, Mashmaz Darshan Ibnai is another way of saying that there is no nafkamina la halacha. It's just, Rav Mendel Blachman used to say when someone asked, what's a nafkamina in his lamdas, he would say, nafkamina is whether you know how to learn or you don't know how to learn, right? So nafkamina is, do you know how to read the psukim in the Torah? That's only nafkamina. Rava Amar Dvar Rishus Ika Ibnai, no, there is a machlokas la halacha, whether the it's ma'akev, whether we push off Re'iyas Hanega, even for the sake of a Dvar Rishus, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who learns from Ubayom, you're not going to push off for anything but a Dvar Mitzvah, because the indication is that sometimes you could push off, but it doesn't give any indication that you can even do so for a Dvar Rishus, whereas Rabbi learns from Ufinu Asabayis, and he's learning from a situation where you're just moving the Kalim out of the house, which is a Tzorach Rishus. So too, by Nigei Adam, you're allowed to push off even for a Tzorach Rishus, even for something that is not a Dvar Mitzvah. So, Legabe Nigei Batim, Lekala Deos, you're allowed to wait for a Dvar Rishus, because that's the Pasuk, right? That's what Tosus points out. Pasuk is Ufinu Asabayis. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can't learn the Dinim of Nigei Adam from Nigei Batim. Meaning, everyone agrees that in Nigei Batim, when it comes to a Nega Tzaras on a house, that for sure you're allowed to push off for a Dvar Rishus, because it's a beferish of the pasuk. The chiddush that Rebbe wanted to suggest is that we learn the dinim of Nigei Adam from Nigei Batim. So if you could do that by Nigei Batim, you could do it by Nigei Adam as well, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with. According to Shitas Abaye, l'chol adeos, you'd wait even for a Dvar Rishus even by Nigei Adam. It's just that Rebbe learns it from Nigei Batim, and Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're not only able to learn Nigei Batim from Nigei Adam from Nigei Batim because they're a chiddush, and you need to learn from Ubayom to Nigei Aguf for a Dvar Mitzvah. And once you learn from a Dvar Mitzvah by a Nega on the Guf, then you can learn Nigei Batim from Nigei Batim as well. That even for a Dvar Shus, you can wait. Meaning, that's how Tosfos explains in Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Meaning, you need to have that kernel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where you say that now I know that even on a Nega on a person, you can wait. You can delay the looking. Once I know that you can delay, now I have to figure out what are the gedarim of that. So once I know the basic halacha, I can use Nigei Batim to teach me the gedarim of that. And by Nigei Batim, you're allowed to delay for Dvar Rishus. So here also, you're allowed to delay for Dvar Rishus. That's how Abaye understands. That's why Abaye thinks it's only Mashmos Dorsh Nigabinayu. He doesn't think that this is enough Kamina. But Rava thinks it is enough Kamina because he thinks that the whole machlokas is whether we can learn Nigei Batim, Nigei Adam from Nigei Batim. So the Gemara explains the reason for the machlokas according to Rava, Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who does not learn Nigei Adam from Nigei Batim, Mehasam Lo Gamrinan, he says you can't learn from there, to Chiddushu, because it's the whole idea of Nigei Batim is a Chiddush. Eitzim Va'avanim Ba'alma Lo Mitamu, because normally the rule is that Eitzim and Avanim are not Mekabel Tuma, Va'ach Mitamu, and over here by Nigei Batim, they're Mekabel Tuma, because the Torah says you got to clear out all the Kalim in order that they shouldn't become Tamei, and included in that is Pshutei Kliyetz and Kliyevan. So since the Torah is being Mechadesh, and even that which is not normally Mekabel Tuma is now going to be Mekabel Tuma through the Tumas Nigei Batim, so the whole thing is a Chiddush, and in the Chabot, El Chidusho, you're not allowed to derive something from a Chiddush. Rav Shechter often points out, he writes in Eretz HaTzvi as well, that whenever the Gemara says something is a Chiddush, so it sounds a little funny, that Nigei Adam isn't a Chiddush, the whole Torah is a Chiddush. I wouldn't have figured out, you know, out of the 613 mitzvahs, probably over 500 of them I wouldn't have figured out on my own had the Torah not told them to. The whole thing is a Chiddush. So what do you mean that Nigei Batim is a Chiddush? So he said you have to define the term Chiddush, that the term Chiddush does not mean something that I wouldn't have figured out on my own. The term Chiddush means that based on the klalim that the Torah has, that the Torah already has in place, and that and we use klalim, we use basic rules of mitzvos to be able to learn from a mematzinu, right? There's an assumption in the Torah that kol haTorah kula inyan echad, that you can learn from one halacha to the next, that we're allowed to compare halachos, because that assumes that there are rules and that the Torah works within those rules. So if you have a rule that works throughout kol haTorah kula, and then you have an exception to that exception is called the chiddush. It's a davar hasoser saklal. So that's exactly, this is a perfect example of that. Why is nigei batim a chiddush? The Gemara says, not because the whole idea of a house becoming Tameh, whoever would have thought of that? No, it's because there are klalim of tuma, and part of those klalim of tuma that there are certain things that are not mekabel tuma, and yet over here they are mekabel tuma. So it's so seres haklal, and that's what makes something a chiddush. But Rabbi Amar, Rabbi says that from nigei batim alone in a chinami, you can't learn that you'd wait for a dvar rishos by nigei adam as well, because in a chinami nigei batim is a chiddush, but it's trich. We need two limudim. We need ubayom and we need ufinu. If the Torah would have said, where we learn that there are days that you don't don't look at a nega, hava amina, I would say l'dvar mitzvah in, l'dvar rishus lo. That only for a dvar mitzvah you're allowed to delay, but not for a dvar rishus. So kas rachmana v'tziva kohen. That's why the pasuk says v'tziva kohen, to tell me that you wait even for a dvar rishus, like tumas kelim. V'kas rachmana v'tziva kohen. And if it only would have said the pasuk of v'tziva kohen, hava amina, hani in, delav tumadugufe, I would have said that the dafka by nige batim, where there's no tumas haguf, that's where we wait for a dvar rishus. Aval tumah degufe, but a tumah on a person's body, ema michsachazile. I might think that the kohen has to see the nega and not delay even a second for the sake of a dvar rishus. And you can't learn from nige batim because of nige batim is a chiddush. But once the Torah is megala with the limud of ubayom that you wait for a dvar mitzvah by nige adam, so then you're able to learn that you wait even for a dvar rishus from nige batim, even though nige batim is a chiddush. So tzricha, that's why we need both of these limudim. So it turns out that even according to Rebbe, you do need the limud of ubayom. So when it says in the Braisa that eino tzarich, meaning when Rebbe was arguing with Rebbe Yehuda came up with the drush of ubayom, and Rebbe said eino tzarich, you don't need that. Doesn't really mean eino tzarich, you do need it. It means I don't use ubayom to teach me that you wait for a dvar mitzvah. That part I can learn from Ufinu, but that you learn from that you wait for a dvar rishus, I taka do need your pasuk, because Rebbe uses the two psukim together. So the Gemara explains the limud that we said ubayom hira ospo. Amar mar. So we said in the Braisa on Zayinam Bezin, explaining the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that we learn from ubayom hira ospo basar chai, yesh yom shataroabo, v'yesh yom shi'iataroabo. That there are some days that you look at negayim, other days that you don't look at negayim. So that's how we know that you don't look at the nega of a chassan during the Sheva Brachos week or anybody else during Yom Tov. So my mashma, how do you see from that pasuk to make such a drasha? The pasuk is needed just to tell me what the pasuk is trying to tell me. It's not an extra pasuk. It's telling me that that'll be Yom Erospo, that there's a day that you look at the negayim. So Amar Abayi im Kain, if the pasuk was just trying to tell me what it sounds like it's telling me, and it's not coming to be marbe, some other case, Lichtov Rachmana Bayom, my Uvayom. Pasuk could have just said Bayom. Why does it have to add the extra Vav? Shvamina, Yeshem Shatarabo, Yeshem Shatarabo. The extra Vav is open to teach me a drush, is open to teach me a drusha, and that's the drusha. That sometimes you look at Negayim, other times you don't look at Negayim. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, it's not the letter Vav, it's not the extra Vav. Kula Krayaseiruhu, the entire Ubayom is extra. Dim Kain, because if it wasn't there for a drusha, Lichtov Rachmana. Let it just say when he looks. My uveyom, what is the extra word of yom? Shmamina yeshem shatarabo v'yeshem shatarabo. So it's not only an extra vav, it's an entire extra word in the pasuk. So now the Gemara explains machlok sabay and rava in the manner of drasha of uveyom, how we darshan uveyom. So the Gemara explains Abaye Shita, Abaye who holds that Ubayom is not extra, Hahumi Bayalei, he says the word Bayom is needed for a different drasha, Bayom v'lo b'layla, to tell me that a Kohen is allowed to look at a Nega during the daytime, but he's not allowed to look at a Nega during the nighttime. And once the Torah is Megala that, by Nige Haguf, which are the most Chamur, so that you're not allowed to look at night, so certainly we're going to know, the Shita of the Talmud Rimi Paris points out, certainly then you're going to know by Nige Begadim and Nige Batim as well that you're not allowed to look at Laila, you're not allowed to look at a Nega at Laila. So that's where the Torah is Megala to me, that you're not allowed to look at a Nega by Laila. It's in the word Bayom, by saying that extra word Bayom, it tells me that Negoyim have to be examined during the day. So that's why I need Yeshom Shatarobo Dafka from the Osvav and not from the word Bayom, because the word Bayom is already there for a drasha. V'rava Bayom v'lo b'layla minale. So wait a second, but Rava thought the whole word of Bayom is coming to tell me that sometimes you'll have a delay looking at a nega. So how's he going to know that you don't look at a nega at night? So Nafkalei, he derives it from a different pasuk. Pasuk says L'chol Mare Einei HaKohen. So it sounds like it has to be that he gets a good visual of the nega, and you can't get a real good solid look at the nega at nighttime. That it has to be that he's able to see it properly. V'Abaye, and what about Abaye who already learned that you don't look at a nega at Laila from the word Bayom? What does he do with Chol Marei Ne'ekohen? Sahu mi Bayle Lemute Suma Ba'achas Me'enav. He used that to teach me that someone who's blind in one eye is not allowed to look at at a nega, because it says the cholmara einei hakohen. Einei implies that he's able to see with both eyes. So therefore, the pasuk is not extra to be mema'it ri'iyah belayla. You need bayom for that miut. So ask the gemara on Rava for Rava nami v'ilei lahachi. Where is Rava going to know that a one-eyed kohen is not allowed to look at negayim? Say nachinami, you're right. It's not from this pasuk that Rava learns it. Vela bayom v'lo belayla minale. Meaning it is from Rava learns it from einei, and therefore Rava is back look, on the prowl looking for a pasuk that tells me bayom v'lo belayla. Because L'chol Mara Einei HaKohen is not teaching me B'yom V'lo B'layla. Rava agrees. L'chol Mara Einei HaKohen tells me that a Kohen that is blind in one eye is not allowed to look at a Nega. Vel B'yom V'lo B'layla Minolei. Where does he know? B'yom V'lo B'layla? Nafkalei. He derives it from Mi Kenega Dira Li Babayis. From the pasuk that says by Negei Batim that the Balabayis says to the Kohen, Kenega Nira Li Babayis. From the word li in the pasuk, that's extra. He could have just said kenega nira babayis. So we darshan li v'lo la'ori, that I saw the nega on my own and I didn't need any artificial light in order to be able to see the nega. So you see that he must have seen the nega during the daytime where he didn't require artificial light. He didn't have to go and get in there to be able to see the nega. So on that time it says that the kohen comes to look at the nega. So you see that he's not looking at the nega belayla. I mean, even though it's describing the Balabayas telling the Kohen what he saw, but presumably, as soon as he tells the Kohen what he saw, the Kohen says, I'm coming right away, and he comes to look dafka at that same time. So at the same time that the Balabayas saw the Nega, which must have been during the daytime, because he describes that he's not using any artificial light to see the Nega, that must be when the Kohen is looking at the Nega as well. And from there we learn for Tanigei Aguf that also you don't look at Nigei Aguf Belayla as well. Rava himself said it within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that you can't learn Nigei Aguf from Nigei Batim because Nigei Batim are a Chiddush. So wait a second, how could Rava's source for not looking at a Nega Belayla be from Nigei Batim? But wait a second, how can I then know that Nigei Aguf cannot be seen Belayla? Rava himself is the one that said that you can't derive Nigei Aguf from Nigei Batim. So that's Dafka as far as waiting for Dvar Shus, because the Chiddush of Nigei Batim is on that Inyan itself of Pinoy Abayis, of removing all of the Kalim from the Bayis, to be even the Kalim that normally wouldn't be Makabal Tumah. That is the very source of Chiddush. But Tosus points out in Dibra Maskul Nafka that as far as Re'ia Belayla, there's no Chiddush in Nigei Batim as far as Re'ia Belayla. As far as when you look at the Nega, that's not a Chiddush, so that you're allowed to learn from Nigei Batim to Nigei Haguf. And that's why Rav is comfortable making that equation. So that, meaning you're only not allowed to learn from the Chiddush on the element that is a Chiddush, on the point that is a Chiddush. But the timing of when you look at the Nega, whether it be daytime or nighttime, is not a Chiddush. But Abaye, who darshans from Bayom, to tell me that you're not allowed to look at a Nega at Laila, holds that Livelo Leori is not a valid drasha. Ime Hasam, if I only would have had that pasuk, Kavamina Hanimili Tuma Delav Dugufe, I would have said that that's Dafka by Tuma, that's not Tumas Haguf, like Nigei Batim, that's where the pasuk is saying that you're not allowed to see at night. Aval Tuma Dugufe, but a person is dealing with Tuma on his own body, I would have said Afil Leoronami. You could even look at by an Oraner, because it could be by Nigei Gufo, they're so Chamur that he can't afford to wait. That's the implication that the Gemara has. That's the Havamina. That by Nigei, but not because of the Chiddush of Nigei Batim, but just because Nigei Batim is not as Chamur as Nigei Aguf. There's nothing more traumatizing than when something happens on a person's own guf. Something happens to his house, it's upsetting. Something happens on his guf, it's traumatizing. So since it's a more Chamur type of an Indian, so I would have thought that cannot wait till morning. If he sees it at night, he's got to address it right away. So Kamash Malan, that's why the Pasuk tells me by Yom, that it says by Nigei Aguf, that even Nigei Aguf cannot be seen Balayla, they can only be seen by Yom, and therefore we can't darshan from here that Yesh Yom She'ia Taro'abo. It must be that it's only from the word, from the letter Vav, that we learn Yesh Yom She'ia Taro'abo, Yesh Yom She'ia Taro'abo. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to continue discussing things not to do on Chol HaMoed because they're going to be a source of tsar. If it's mutter to be, the Mishnah is going to discuss whether you're allowed to be malakid at Samos HaMeis from a place where the mace is currently buried, in order to bring him and bury him the Kivrei Avosav. The Mishnah is also going to explain the Isra of Hespid al-Mace on the days prior to the Moed. We do Likud Atzamos, and there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch about Likud Atzamos. If let's say a cemetery is going to be destroyed, so we do a Likud Atzamos to bring a mace. Many poskim at least to bring a mace in Shulchan Aruch said to bring a mace to Eretz Yisrael. You're allowed to do Likud Atzamos. So this happens all the time. Someone just told me on Shabbos, Rabbi Muskin told me on Shabbos, was in Los Angeles. He said that I think it was someone in his family, a grandmother or something, that they asked Rav Soloveitchik whether they could move the body from Boston to Eretz Yisrael, and he said no. So I'm not sure he didn't know why, but as he said, Rav Soloveitchik wasn't he didn't think that everyone should be running to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. A lot of the Gedolim, for some reason, felt that they shouldn't spend so much money bringing people to Eretz Yisrael for Kvura. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think, famously held that way. That's why there are so many Gedolim buried here in Queens, meaning Mestama. There probably would have been people willing to pay to get them buried in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara talks about the value of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, that it is a value. Question is, so how much is that value worth? Meaning, is it it's certainly not a requirement, so how much would you pay for that value of Kavura Be'eretz Yisrael? But anyway, so the Mishnah is going to discuss these matters as far as Chol HaMoed is concerned. So Va'odam Rameir tells me, just like Rameir is makel to look at Negoyim and Chol HaMoed, that was the Mishnah on yesterday's daf, so too he has another kula, that Malakir Adam Atzmos of V'imo, you're allowed to do Likar Atzmos of moving the body on Chol HaMoed in order to bury. Oh, the other exception is in Kivrei Avos, right? That you're allowed to bury to move to Kivrei Avos. You're allowed to move the body. You're allowed to do Likud Atzamos. So you can do that on Chol HaMoed Mishe Simcha Hilo, because that's considered a Simcha that you're able to move them to Kivrei Avos of, and it's not going to be a source of Tsar. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Evel Hulo. Rabbi Yossi says, what do you mean? Likud Atzamos is a source of Avelus. You get upset all over again when you have to see the reburial of one's father or mother. So it turns out that a person is going to have tsar on Chol HaMoed from the Likud Atzamos. And another halacha, Lo Ya'orer Adam Al Meiso V'lo Yaspidenu. A person who had a relative die a month or 2 months before Yom Tov shouldn't hire someone to say a hesped to bring about Bechi within 30 days of Yom Tov, you know, to get the relatives to cry again. And if the person died within 30 days of Yom Tov, you shouldn't hire someone to be Maspid. Within 30 days of Yom Tov. And the Gemara is going to explain why that's the case. So now, the Mishnah had said, the first part of the Mishnah, that according to Rabbi Meir, you could be Malakir Atzmos Av V'imo because it's Simcha Hilo. So the Gemara understands Kipshuto, that there's a Simcha in being Malakir Atzmos Av V'imo. So the Gemara says, Uraminu, but I'll ask you a stira, that we have a Braisa, Malakir Atzmos Av V'imo, Hareze Mis'abel Aleihem Kolayom, Ule'erevei Mis'abel Aleihem. We practice Avelus when we do Likud Atzamos, right? The relatives are supposed to practice Avelus. So it's only that day, it's only a one day Avelus, La'erev Ein Misabel Aleim, in the evening the Avelus is already over, but on the day of Likud Atzamos, we certainly practice Avelus. That's actually not the most common practice nowadays. The halacha is that if you know about the Likud Atzamos of Avivimo, you have to practice Avelus that day. I think the most common practice is you don't know about it. They don't tell the person about it until it's already taken care of. And once it's already taken care of, so then it's too late. The Avelus is already over. I think that's the more common practice. You have that every once in a while. So they tell them a general time frame. They say the Chevra Kadisha will tell them, sometime this week we're going to be Malakir Atzamos. We're gonna move the body. So sometime that week they move it, and then but the Avel doesn't know exactly what day, and that way they avoid this Chiv of Avelus. But bottom line is, as far as our Gemara is concerned, you see that this is not a Simcha. This is something that generates a Chiv of Avelus. V'amar Rav Chisa says, when he says you misabel al Likud Atzamos, afil tshurin lo b'sadino, even if the bones are all are wrapped in tachrichim, and therefore you don't have to actually pick the bones. The terminology. Likud Atzamos sounds very gruesome. You're picking up bones of a body. No, you're not doing that. You're picking up a coffin. You're picking up a bag of tachrichim. You know, the tachrichim, which make like a bag, which have the bones inside of them. So you're not even seeing the bones. Still, your misabel calls man that they're not buried. But you do see in the Braisa that Avelus is chal based on Likud Atzamos of Aviv V'imo, and you see that the a person has tzar b'likar atzal b'sav v'imo. So how can Rabbi Meir say in our Mishnah simcha ilo that likar atzal is a simcha? It's a little bit difficult to understand why the Gemara had to bring Rav Chista. Even without Rav Chista, the brisa itself is already a kasha, right? That's what the Rishonim point out. Rav Chista just adds that even if you don't have to actually pick bones, even if it's sur lo b'sadino, but even without Rav Chista, we already have the kasha. The kasha is that likar atzal itself is a sad thing. It's something that generates a chiv of avelus. So Tosos in Dibra Maskel Le'erev points out that Eina Chinami. It's just that that's the way of the Gemara, that when it brings a brisa for whatever reason, it brings Biderach Agav the explanations of the Amoraim on that brisa as well. But Eina Chinami, Rav Chista is not really a critical part of this conversation over here. However, the Ritva says differently. The Ritva says that without Rav Chista, I would have thought that the Avelus of Likra Tzamos is only Chal after you bury the bones anew. And that's why you have to say that which Rav Meir is Matu Likra Tzamos of Moed is dafka if you're not going to bury them at Moed, because it would turn out that you wouldn't be misabel on Moed. But from the fact that Rav Chista says that even if they're tzurim lo b'sadino, and you did, he's talking about where you haven't buried them yet. So nevertheless, there's a chiv avelus etzchal. Meaning that Ritva says the havamina would be, when does avelus normally chal? When does avelus normally chal? Normally someone dies, so you're nonin, and then it's a misha beis amut alafanav. And then when you bury them, then the avelus is chal by the stima sagolol. That's when the avelus is chal. But over here, so I would have thought the same is true by likud atzamos, that maybe there's avelus, but it's only upon the burial. So the likud itself might be a simcha. It's the burial that generates the avelus. So Rav Chista is what's megala to us that that's not true, because Rav Chista is talking about a pre-burial stage, and he's saying afal pikein, that even at the pre-burial stage, there's still going to be avelus. So Amar Abaye Eimam, in fact, the burial is what ends the avelus. Amar Abaye Eimam neshes simcha sa regel alav. So Abaye says, no, we misread the Mishnah. When Rameir says that it's a simcha hilo to do the likur atzamos, he doesn't mean that the actual likur atzamos is simcha. He's saying that there's a simcha saregel, and because you're involved in simcha saregel, you're not going to be mitzta'er enough over the likur atzamos of v'imo. And therefore, you're allowed to be malakit them on chalamoin, because the simcha saregel is going to outweigh the sadness that one has from the likur atzamos. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says the simcha saregel is not going to be enough to outweigh the personal sadness that one is going through with likur atzamos. So that's the machlokas. The machlokas is one going to actually be upset on Chol HaMoed when they do the likur atzamos? But not that likur atzamos is a source of simcha, it just may not be such a powerful source of avelus that it will overpower the simcha that you're already having of simchas yom tov. V'lo ya'arer al mesa. We also said that within 30 days it shouldn't be ma'arer al mesa. My lo ya'arer al mesa. What does that mean? Amarav, kadhadar sabtana b'marav ha'amri, yivkud ame kol meriri liba. That the derech of the sabtanim in Eretz Yisrael was to go around the city and to say that everyone should come and cry with him, anyone who has a bitter heart about the death of this person, because he's going to be maspered improperly. So that's what it means. Lo ya'orer al meso, that you shouldn't hire a sabtan to go around gathering people together to talk about the mace. So you're not allowed to give a hesped within 30 days of Yom Tov. So the Gemara discusses why. What's the number 30 days? Why is that the magic number? So Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, that the reason is, it's one time a person saved up all the money that he needed in order to be able to regal to Yerushalayim. He was planning his trip with his family to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov. It's, as we know, that's not cheap to go to with a family to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov. So he saved up money to be able to go, and then so a sabtan came and stood by the doorway of his house, and the sabtan was offering to be maspid the karov who had died recently, and the wife took all the money that was saved to go to Eretz Yisrael and gave it to the sabtan. So v'nimna v'lo ala, and that way that family was not able to be ol regel because they didn't have the money for it anymore. So bosa shah amru lo yor al mesa le'aspidem kol regel shalshim yom. So that's when they said, you know what? For 30 days there are not going to be any aspidem because we're afraid you're going to lose out on the money, on the ability to be ol regel, and the And the reason why it's dafka 30 days pashtus is based on the Gemara in the first paragraph of Pesachim that Shalom Medoshim Bilchachag Shalom Yom Kodem Achag, and the Gemara over there uses that to, as the basis for the chiv of Bedikas Chametz if you're going on a trip before Pesach. So you see that the inyanim of the Chag have to already be dealt with 30 days before the Chag, but prior to 30 days before the Chag, you don't need to be thinking about the inyanim of the Chag. So since this is going to shter the Yom Tov, it's going to take away your ability to be Yol Regel, you have to think about that within 30 days. But before 30 days, you don't have to think about that. Even though in a chinami, it could be that if you spend all your money 35 days before, you're not going to have the money to be Yol Regel, but it's not your chiyuv to think about that, to think in those terms at that point in time. Shmuel says, no, it's a different reason. It's because for 30 days you're going to still be bitzar over the hesped, because it takes 30 days to forget the mace, and that's going to ruin your yantif. What would be the nafkamina between them? If you could find a maspid who's going to do it for free. So you don't have to worry about using up all your money, but you still do have to worry about... You still do have to worry about the idea that it's going to be sad for you on Yom Tov. In the Beis Ephraim, in the Tshuvas in Yerodei Simnai and Zayin, he asks a kasha on this, that the Gemara in Brachos Daf and Ches says Ein Ames Mishtakech until Yud Beis Chodesh. So over here it says Shloshim Yom. Which is it? Is Ames Mishtakech Achar Yud Beis Chodesh or only Shloshim Yom? So he says everyone agrees that he's not Mishtakech until Yud Beis Chodesh. And that's why we know Gavelus Halav V'Imo for Yud Beis Chodesh. Shmuel is coming to tell me that because of a hesped, there's a new hisorus of Avelus, and that hisorus, meaning when it's an actual death, so the death is going to be with the person for 12 months, there's no avoiding that. That's going to hit the whole Yom Tov cycle, right? The thinking about the mace is still going to be there. But to be misorer on the mace, that means that you're bringing up new crying, and you're bringing up the topic again. That sadness will last for 30 days. He says, according to the Ravid, in explaining the Yerushalmi, that a mace chadash, you're allowed to be maspid, because it's a betok shloshim yom, there's anyway going to be merirus libo. So then by a mace yasha, there's merirus libo, because it's not mishtakech, meaning because the idea is that a mace yasha would not be mishtakech until after, and it would be mishtakech after 30 days. That's what the basis of Rabbi Kiv Eger points out in Shulchan Aruch. That might be the basis of the different minhagim as to when they do akamas hamatseva. That Kamas HaMaseva is a maskeres of the mace. So when do you need a maskeres? You only need a maskeres when there's going to be when there might be shikha, when there might be, not that you're going to forget that the person existed, but that shikha means that it's not going to be at the center of one's consciousness anymore, which it's not supposed to be, right? The whole idea of Avelus is to get a person to be able to move on with normal life, but you need to put up the matseva by the time. So that's why Rabbi Kiveger says that's the basis for the practice to put up a matseva by a yard site, that they dafka put up a matseva by the first yard site. There are many others that have different practices that they do it earlier than the yard site. Sometimes they'll do after a week. They do it as soon at the end of Shiva. Sometimes they'll do a Hakamas HaMatseva. But the practice of doing it by a yard site is based on that. Ein Ames Mishtakech Min Alev until Yud Beis Chodesh. Okay, so now the Mishnah discusses the dinim of digging a grave and making aronos for Mesim on Chol HaMoed. Sein Chofrim Kuchen. You're not allowed to dig crypts of kvaros and graves, b'moed, av mechanchan es hakuchen b'moed. But you could be mesakein those that already exist on Chol HaMoed. That's not considered to have so much tircha. V'osin evreches b'moed. You can make a certain pool where they would clean the clothing on moed, because that's not considered to be a big tircha. And v'aron, you can make an aron for the sake of kvuras hameis, and you could even bring the eitzim and the boards to make the aron. But im hameis b'chatzer, that's dafka together with the mace in the chatzar. When the mace is in the chatzar, where are you going to be making the aron? So then it's nicker that you're doing it with tzorich the mace. But if the mace is not in the same chatzar, then you're not allowed to make the aron, because people are going to be choshed that you're building a box for some other reason, maybe to put money away or something like that. So therefore, you're only allowed to do this if the mace is there. Rabbi Yehuda Oser, Elim Ken Yeshimon Nasarim. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're never allowed to make an aron for a mace, even if the mace is in the chatzar, unless you already have the boards, you already have the materials that you need to use in order to make the aron. But to bring the eitzim and to make boards out of the eitzim and to just chop lumber and then figure it out from there, that you're not allowed to do, because that's an excessive tircha that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. My kuchen and my kvaros. What are kuchen and what are kvaros? So Amar Rav Yehuda Kuchin b'chafira. That's by digging in the ground, that there would be chofer, a cave under the ground, and then in the walls of that cave they would dig kvarim. Whereas kvaros b'binyin. Kvaros are a binyan that was above ground to bury the mace. Tani nami achi, eluin kuchen veluin kvaros, kuchen bechafira, kvaros bebinyan. Neither of these is what we actually bury in nowadays, typically. Right? Typically we just bury in the ground. We just dig a hole in the ground and bury in the ground. But it used to be they would dig a ma'ara in the ground and then bury sideways, then dig into the walls. And bury people that way. And kvarim, what it's describing is above ground, right? That's all discussion now in Eretz Yisrael, that they're running out of space, so they're trying to build buildings for Mason to build above ground. So it's halachically, it's probably not problematic. It just feels weird, right? It feels an unusual thing to do. It's kvura b'karka. They somehow make it in such a way where it's considered to be a hemshech of the karka. Av mechanchin es hakuchin. So you mechanich the kuchin. Ketzan mechanchin. What's the chinuch that you're allowed to do on moed? Some Rav Yehuda shemaya aruch mekatzro. If it was too long, you can shorten it, even though it's a little bit of tircha. It's not that if the kuch was short, from the, you need to lengthen it or widen it, so you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to lengthen it or widen it. Sometimes you have a larger mace, so it was made for an average size mace, and now you have a larger mace, a taller mace, or a fatter mace, so they'd have to widen the area, so that you're allowed to do a chol ha-moed. Va'osu nevreches, and you can make a nevreches on moed. My nevreches, what is a nevreches? So Rav Yehuda says zo bekia, that's a chafira that they would dig in the karka in order to gather water. Vatanyos asks the Gemara, but wait a second, hanavreches vabekia. It says hanavreches vabekia. Sounds like they're two different things. It gives them as two items on the list. Amar Abaye v'itaim Rav Kahana, that hanavreches bekia are both chafiros in the karka of the chatzer. When the Brisa says hanavreches vabekia, which sounds like they're two different things, that's because they would dig two pools. One is gia, a larger pool that they would gather water into to use for all the tzarchei chatzar, and the other was called a bar giha. The second one was a smaller pool that they would dig next to the larger pool in order to put water in. That water should go from the larger pool when it's full. The overflow should go into the smaller pool. So that's why the giha was called the nevreches, and the bar giha was called the bakia. So that's only when you mention both of them. But if you're only mentioning one of them, sometimes you'd call the larger one a bakia or the smaller one in nevreches, because it's all the same basic idea. It's only when the two of them are together, so then you have to distinguish them by identifying them in different ways. We said you could make an aron when the mace is there in the chatzar. So tanina la d'tan rabban, we have a brisa that says like this: osim kol tzarchei mace gozen lo sa'aro umechapsen lo ksuso. You can cut the mace's hair and you can wash his clothing. Vosen lo aron minasarim l'sarim erev yom tov, and you can make an aron from boards that are prepared before yom tov. But if you don't have boards that are prepared before yom tov, you're not allowed to bring new wood on yom tov and to make boards out of them in order to make an aron, because that's going to be an extra tircha. They can even bring Eitzim and make the Nesarim to make an Aron. Betzina betoch beso. But it's got to be Betzina inside your house where no one's going to look and think and be choshed that you're doing it for some other tzorech. So as long as you're doing it for a mace and there's no reason that anyone's going to think you're doing it for anything else, then it's going to be mutter. Okay, now the Mishnah. Ein nosin nashim b'moed. You're not allowed to marry a woman on chol ha-moed, lo besulos, lo almanos, whether it's her first marriage or it's her second marriage. V'lom yavmin, you're not allowed to do yibum of your brother's wife who died without any children. Mibreisha simcha yilo, because all of these things are a simcha, and you're not allowed to have this kind of simcha. So the Gemara is going to discuss, what do you mean? You're supposed to have simcha on Yom Tov. Why are you not allowed to have simcha? So that's when we have the four explanations of why you're not allowed to marry someone on Yom Tov. Avol machzeros krushasa. But if you've already been married and it's just a matter of remarrying a woman that you divorced, that doesn't have as much simcha. So that you're allowed to do on Cholamoid. Va'osi isha tachshiteha. A woman is allowed to prepare her tachshitim b'moid on Cholamoid because that's considered a tzorach haguf. That's like an ochel nefesh. So she's allowed to do it in the normal way without any shinoi, even though it may involve an excessive tircha. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo tosud mipnei nivel hula. Rabbi Yehuda says, but there is a limit. She's not allowed to put sid on her basar in order to do hair removal because that's considered a nivel. Even though when she removes the sid after moed, it will be a source of joy to her because she won't have that unwanted hair. But nevertheless, while the sid is on her on moed, it's a genai and it's a tsar and it's going to cause her a tsar on chalamo. We don't want that. Chamra matir even to be lost with the sid on moed, even though it's going to when you're only going to remove the sid after Yom Tov, and the Gemara is going to explain in tomorrow's daf what that machlokas is about. Hahedyo tofer kedarko. Someone who's not an expert seamstress is allowed to be tofer kedarko. Is allowed to sew things in a normal way when it's l'tzorech hamoed because it's a ma'aseh hahedyot. But va'uman machlif. If someone is an expert tailor or a seamstress, if they need to sew something on moed, then they have to make tfiros like the teeth of a dog. They make it in an unusual way that doesn't look like a normal stitching. Umasarginas hamitos. They could weave the ropes to make a place where to make the basis of the mattress for people to sleep on, to make a bed. Rabbi Yossi Omer Mimatchin. Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to be misarig the ropes of the bed, but Mimatchin, you can stretch them out over the frame that you have, which again the Gemara is going to explain. So I guess tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara that discusses the four possible reasons as to why it is that one is not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed. So Beis Hashem, we'll pick up with that tomorrow. Everyone have a great day. Ooh, tomorrow's not as long.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a nice day.